Glorious day, fellow traveler. Welcome to Science and God with Dr. G. That's me, Dr. Michael Gillen, physicist, astronomer, mathematician, and Christian. That's right, living, breathing evidence that science and Christianity are not mortal enemies, but good friends. Actually, an awesome power couple. Eudaimonia, what it is, and why you should care. Whenever I use the word eudaimonia, people usually react the same way. They laugh at how funny it sounds and wonder what in the world I'm talking about. Well, eudaimonia isn't easy to define, but it means something like transcendent joy, wisdom, and peace. It derives from two smaller words. Eu, which means well or good, it's where we get the word euphoric, and daimon, which means a god or divine power or guardian spirit. In other words, eudaimonia involves not just your physical and emotional well-being, but also your spiritual well-being. You might even say it means euphoric spirit. By the way, one more thing. It doesn't mean just plain old happiness, okay? The word happy comes from the Norse word hap, which means chance or fortune or luck. It's like when you hit the lottery. That'll make you happy, but that kind of happiness is fleeting. It comes and goes with your luck in life. By contrast, genuine eudaimonia does not depend on your situation. Dr. Neil Burton is a British psychiatrist who teaches at the University of Oxford. Here's how he explains it. Quote, "Unlike happiness, eudaimonia is not an emotion, but a state of being. It is more deep-rooted than happiness and more stable and reliable. Although it leads to pleasure or satisfaction of the highest kind, it does not arise from pleasure, but from higher values and principles that transcend the here and now," end quote. Ancient Greek philosophers routinely used the word eudaimonia, especially Aristotle. To him, eudaimonia was the feeling you get, the state of being you reach when you find your purpose in life and do it with excellence. Today, more than 2,000 years later, psychologists and psychiatrists are just now getting around to studying eudaimonia in a scientific way. Why has it taken them so long, you ask? Well, because from the very beginning, psychology and psychiatry have been interested in what happens to people when things go wrong. For example, psychiatry as a formal scientific discipline began in the early 1800s. Back then, its only focus was on institutionalizing people whose minds had gone haywire. These poor souls were warehoused in horrible conditions, in places called insane asylums and madhouses. Today, the American Psychiatric Association publishes something that resembles a big fat telephone directory of mental and emotional afflictions. It's called the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, or DSM for short. It's about 1,000 pages long and includes everything from depression, panic attacks, and ADHD to autism, bipolar disorder, and schizophrenia. You can actually buy it on Amazon for about $35, but honestly, my friend, I don't recommend it because if you aren't depressed right now, you will be after reading through it. It wasn't until the late 1990s, that psychologists became seriously interested in what happens to people when things go right. One of the pioneers, Martin Seligman at the University of Pennsylvania, puts it this way, quote, "Psychology should be just as concerned with building strength as with repairing damage. Curing the negatives does not produce the positives," end quote. Because of that belated revelation, There's now a formal discipline called positive psychology. Yeah. And it's very different than the long-standing discipline of negative psychology. In fact, there's some rivalry between the two camps. The late Dr. Christopher Peterson was a world-renowned positive psychologist at the University of Michigan. Here's how he explains it. Listen, quote, "Positive psychology is the scientific study of what makes life most worth living," end quote. Dr. Peterson gives a great down-to-earth example of the huge, huge difference between negative and positive psychology. Here it is, quote, "What is good in life is not simply the absence of what is problematic. We all know the difference between not being depressed and bounding out of bed in the morning with enthusiasm for the day ahead," end quote. In a nutshell, then, the difference between negative and positive psychology is the difference between studying misery and studying eudaimonia. This scientific revolution means that psychologists are just now discovering what the Bible has been saying all along. It's yet another example of how science is not leaving the Bible behind, but actually slowly catching up with it. There's no other way to put it. So let me finish up by giving you five quick examples of what I mean. Example number one, positive psychologists are just now discovering that meaning and purpose leads to eudaimonia, but they're still relatively clueless about how you can find meaning and purpose in your life. Dr. Tyler Vanderweel is the director of Harvard's Human Flourishing Program. Don't you just love that? Human Flourishing Program. Here's what he says, quote, "Almost everyone desires to have a sense of meaning and purpose in life. The fact that we know so little, at least empirically, about what gives rise to such meaning and purpose is truly remarkable," end quote. The Bible explains that meaning and purpose begins by realizing that you are not an accident of nature. In the book of Psalms, David even sings about this profound truth. Quote, "You, God, made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit them together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex," end quote. The Bible also explains that you were created for a one-of-a-kind cosmic purpose. Quote, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope," end quote. Beautiful. I just love that. Example number two, positive psychologists are just now discovering that, crazy as it sounds, tough times can lead to eudaimonia. Because of this, Dr. Seligman goes so far as to say this, quote, "We need to fail. Children need to fail. We need to feel sad, anxious, and anguished. If we impulsively protect ourselves and our children, we deprive them of learning persistence skills," end quote. Persisting, enduring, flourishing in the face of trouble. That's an important part of eudaimonia. Why? Because when you persist in the face of trouble, my friend, you're always going to be filled with hope for a better tomorrow. Says Dr. Seligman, quote, "Positive psychology takes seriously the bright hope that if you find yourself stuck in the parking lot of life, there is a road out. This road takes you up into the high country of strength and virtue, and finally, to the peaks of meaning and purpose," end quote. And guess what? The Bible says the very same thing. Listen to how Paul explains it, quote, We gladly suffer because we know that suffering helps us to endure. And endurance builds character, which gives us a hope that will never disappoint us. End quote. Example number three. Positive psychologists are just now learning that selflessness leads to eudaimonia. Quote, doing a kindness, says Dr. Seligman, produces the single most reliable increase in well-being of any exercise we have tested. End quote. Again, the Bible agrees. Philippians 2:3 says it point blank, quote, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. End quote. There you go. All right. Example number four. Positive psychologists are just now discovering that being filthy rich does not lead to eudaimonia. Surprise, surprise. Dr. Peterson says studies clearly show, quote, money makes an ever-diminishing contribution to well-being. End quote. Well, the Bible has been saying that since day one, my friend. I love how King Solomon puts it, quote, whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. End quote. Finally, example number five. Positive psychologists are just now discovering that gratitude leads to eudaimonia. Says Dr. Seligman, quote, when we take time to notice the things that go right, it means we're getting a lot of little rewards throughout the day. End quote. The Bible agrees. Take Paul, for example. He was repeatedly jailed, tormented, and ultimately beheaded. Yet he lived in a state of eudaimonia, not because of some lucky charm or magic crystal, but because of God's Spirit. Here's what he tells us, quote, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. End quote. That last part is really important because it is not often quoted. Do not quench the Spirit. Again, he's crediting his state of eudaimonia to the Spirit of God. That, my friend, is eudaimonia in a nutshell. It's not a fleeting stroke of good luck that poof, just happens to visit you one day. It's a permanent state of being that you must seek with all your body, soul, and spirit. Eudaimonia helps you transcend the ups and downs of our broken world, precisely because eudaimonia is not of this world. It comes from God. Remember, the very definition of eudaimonia tells us that it comes from a daemon, a spirit that is not of this world. Above all, my friend, eudaimonia is not some pie-in-the-sky philosophical concept. It's a very real phenomenon. The Bible has been saying that all along. And now, at long last, scientists are finally catching up.
Okay, that's it for now. Remember, this podcast is not a lecture series. It's a conversation. So now it's your turn. Comments? Questions? I'm eager to hear from you. There's all kinds of ways you can connect up with me via my social media links in the show notes below. Till next time, I'm still Dr. G saying, I love science, I love God, I also love you, my fellow traveler. Thanks for listening.